Amen. Be seated, please. Good singing. Let's turn over to 223. Love lifted me. 223.
Everybody, how is everybody today? How are y'all today? Everybody's still full of turkey, huh? Supposed to eat enough of that, got it out of the way, and got your naps out. But then, me, I sat there after I ate my turkey and dozed off, and Supposed to have that out of the way. Good morning. We're glad to see everybody out. That's the usual thing that everybody does is after you eat the turkey, you kind of get sleepy and relaxed and everything. And that's a good thing. We all we all need that from time to time. But we're truly glad to see each and every one out today. I hope and pray that we still have a mind of thanksgiving in our hearts. That's needful for each and every one of us today. We were blessed last week in our service to have a mind of thanksgiving, and that's good. We also saw a mind of people wanting to work and do for God, and that's important. We want to continue to pray for Brother Colton, that he'll be blessed in his work, and he'll be getting started here, I'm sure, before too long. I didn't talk to him yet about when he wants to try to preach, but we'll give him that opportunity here before long, and we'll get that set up for him to be able to stand for the Lord is what we'll do. Now, we're going to get back into our usual rhythm of services. I don't know about you, but when we was driving down here this morning, I came on down last Wednesday, but for the fact that I didn't get to see y'all last Wednesday, it's been a month-long week. I didn't get to see y'all, and it just seemed like it was forever since I'd been down here, even though I still came down here Wednesday and done some visiting. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. For the next several weeks, we're going to be back into our usual rhythm. We'll come in on Sunday morning with our Sunday school in our church. I know the kids are practicing for the Christmas program, and we'll have that here in a few more weeks. But then we'll have our church services, and then on Wednesday nights, we'll come back together like we always do. We'll have our meal, and then we'll have our Bible study as we've been doing, and that's great. We can get back into a rhythm. But let's don't let that rhythm get to be such a rhythm that we don't worship. No, that's something that we all have a tendency to do, don't we? We have a tendency just to basically get into a certain place. Well, I'm happy here. Now, if you start to look in at the churches of Asia, the seven churches of Asia, and we just got through with that study, you'll find that they are... one of them basically got so at ease, and that's basically what they did. They just got so at ease with where they was that they forgot to worship. And I mean really worship God. It's important to come to church. Don't get me wrong. It's important to come to church. But it is even more important to worship when you're there. And I want to encourage us all to come in with a heart of worship. Brother Stewart mentioned this morning that that it's so important for us to have a desire to do for the Lord. And that wasn't his exact words, but I'm going to put it in that way. It's important for us to come into the church and ready to give him something. To give him something. President Kennedy said a long time ago, ask not what you what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Now, that goes for church. Don't ask what God's going to do for you. Ask what you can do for God. And that's what we want to do today. It's good to see everybody out today. I appreciate everybody being here today. I know it's hard to come in off of holidays. I know we've got some that are not well right now, and we're praying for them. I know that we have some that are still traveling. We're glad you're back. We hope and pray they'll be back. I'm glad you are back with us today. Now, we want to get on with our service today. We want to move right into our children's church at this time. Brother Sam, if you would.
All right. Let's go. We got a schedule to keep. Let's go. All right. Here we go. How's everybody doing? You're okay? Did you get you a toothbrush? Yeah, you went to the dentist. That's good. Hey, how you doing? All right. Did you get enough to eat? I have to ask that. You didn't get enough to eat, Hope? Well, you need something to eat. You can't even throw a good shadow. I'm just kidding. I bet you ate. Bet you ate well. Come on. Come on over here. Come on. Yeah. Well, I hope y'all have had a good holiday, and I hope y'all have a good next week. Right? What's our next holiday? Easter. You got to get ready for Easter. I mean, the stores are putting Easter stuff out already. I mean, they're staying ahead of you. I'm just kidding. It is Christmas. You caught me there, didn't you? It is Christmas. Well, how does Christmas make you feel? Good. I got a good over there. Yes. Happy and excited. Anything else? You know, anything else? Ben, you're clamming up over there. Say something, Ben. You feel good? You like Christmas? Yeah, we get it. Yeah. You're mad because you have to wait for it. So you're not, she's not patient and she gets angry. That's okay. Well, see, you're right in line with my thought here. We're talking about emotions, right? And we've had three already. You feel good, you feel happy, you feel angry. Any other emotions? What's another emotion, Ben, that you feel? A feeling. Happy. That's good. What else? You can't wait for Jesus' birthday. I bet he can't wait for yours either. Yes. You feel sick, all right. What about like this? Sad is an emotion. Can you name another one? Anybody? An emotion that you feel. Excited. Okay, so that's joyful, yes. Overjoyed. What about guilt? Anybody ever felt guilt? Why do you feel guilt? Yes. I can't believe you don't know what guilt is. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We'll find out what guilt is. What is guilt? Right. So we've done or said something we shouldn't have, and we regret it. Regret it. Let me ask y'all something. Does your mom or dad have a look that they give you? So you don't have to read their mind or have them say anything that you know that they're a little bit mad at you, right? Anybody else got a look, you know? Right. So we feel guilty. Okay, so there's another emotion. But there's one more. You mentioned it a while ago. We feel mad. Anger. Anybody ever feel mad? Yes. Why do you feel mad? You're next. Why do you feel mad, Hope? Right. Right. We get frustrated, don't we? Yes, Ben. Why do you feel anger? Right, because you want to go outside and play, but, you know, Tom says, no, stay in here and study. That makes you mad, right? Sorry, Tom, I had to bring you into this, you know. But, yeah, sometimes we feel mad. Have you ever been mad at somebody else? Tell the truth. You think? Okay, good. Well, yeah, we've been mad at other people. Is it okay? Okay, I think the Lord made us so that we can feel a lot of emotions, right? He did. Is it okay to be mad? Is it okay? The answer is yes. You know, and the rule in our house, you can be angry, but let's don't be rude. Let's don't be loud. Let's don't be profane. Profane means to say something you shouldn't. Or violent, you know. But otherwise, it's okay to be angry, ain't it, Sarah? Ain't it? Yeah. It's okay. Because it's healthy to feel that emotion. But let's just don't act on it in a bad way. But we need to try to resolve that too, because there's part of one verse that Paul said in Ephesians. I've kept you here way longer than I wanted to, but I just love this interaction here. Paul said, be angry, or be ye angry and sin not. In other words, it's okay to be angry, Zoe, but let's don't act out or, you know, hurt somebody or ourselves or say something, make the problem worse. you know.
Let's don't make it worse.
But here's the best part of the verse. It says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You don't know what it means? Well, I'm going to tell you. It means don't go to sleep mad. Don't go to sleep mad, okay? Because anger can get in there, and if we don't resolve that, it's only going to get worse, okay? It's like being sick. If you're sick, you need to take something for it or go to the doctor so you can get better. And anger is something that can get in us and fester and make us feel worse. So you have to resolve it. Sometimes, and here's the hard part. I need to get down here with you where I can tell you this. Sometimes the only way to resolve something is we have to be real, you know, real forward and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dad, that I was mad at you for making me do my homework. You know. Yeah. All right. So don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, you'll be much happier. We like to feel happy, don't we? Yeah, okay. All right. Well, let's stand up and say this verse. I have kept you here way longer. This is Ephesians 4 and 26. Say Ephesians 4 and 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Yes. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho. All right. Very good.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you, kids. Good lesson for them today. Appreciate everybody being here today. Glad all the kids are back with us again today. We want to go right on with our service at this time. We're going to be going to the Lord in prayer at this in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request?
I want to ask you to remember the family of Gaddy
McCord. Mm-hmm. Lord help. Yes, let's do remember this family. Somebody else? I've asked Madeline to read for us today, if you would. She's going to read our prayer request from our Sunday school class this morning. Appreciate you.
Good morning. Today we want to pray for Sam's neighbor who passed, those who don't go to church, Barbara Faircloth, today's service, the host, travel mercies for those traveling during the holidays, the McCard family, give strength to the one that got saved, that Josh gets saved, pray for the niece with COVID and has three children to take care of, and that we need the spirit of love for God and each other.
Several prayer requests right there that we do want to mention in our prayers. I do want you to notice we had one to get saved this week, and I'm going to kind of elaborate on that. You may have saw it on our Facebook page, but my son Patrick, you know he has a new girlfriend. And she has a daughter that they've been worried about. And she woke her mama up the other day and told her that she just got saved there in the bed. And that was a good thing. Now, of course, it's a broken home. And her father and his family are of a different faith than ours. And she's been afraid to tell her dad and her grandparents. I want you to be prayerful for that young lady to have strength. That's important, especially when you're newly saved, to tell everybody you can, because that gives you strength. It gives you strength to tell it to somebody else. So do remember her in your prayers. I did want to mention that again in this day. Let's don't forget those that are unsaved that are connected to our church. I say most of the time the ones that are here is the way I say it. But you've got people that basically do not come in this church house that you're worried about. I'm sure you do. talk to them, pray for them, pray that the Lord will touch them. They don't have to be in this church house to get saved. It's good if they are. We get to enjoy it that way. But our biggest prayer is that the Lord will save souls regardless of where they're at. Let's pray that He will save them completely is what we want to do. Somebody else have a prayer request on your heart this morning. As I've said, we have several that are sick. Some's got the flu. Some's just got other bugs, and we'll say. But let's do remember our sick that are out there also. Any other prayer requests? Make sure you pray for me this morning. I need your prayers. Yeah. Do remember Brother Jerry Rippey. That we had hadn't mentioned that. Brother Jerry Rippey is a preacher friend of mine. He done a mission work up in Ohio and started a church there, and he's a pastor there. They found him with cancer this past week. So do remember him. Somebody else. If not, we want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. We'll call on one to start our prayer. But we want everybody to pray in your own way, please. Brother Sam, will you start our prayer, please?
Everybody pray.
Please stand as
we receive our tithes and offerings.
Thank you. That was beautiful, Mom.
Amen.
Turn over to page 13. Page 13. sing one more congregational song, and hopefully Brother Trey will sing us a special after that. Let's turn over to page 42. Song we haven't done in a while today as well. Page 42.
Also gave me a new reason to look forward to heaven. So many songs have been written about heaven and what waits for us on the other side. Golden streets and jasper walls are a given, and our loved ones who are there will never die. But there's something more that causes me to long for that eternal home made for the saved by grace. Held me captive, will no longer haunt my mind, as the praise of every saint and all the angels are combined. I'm longing for the day when the sheep no longer stray and the struggles of this life come to an end. struggles that result in my defeat. I often fall beneath the weight of failure, and the taste of victory is seldom sweet. So I've prayed more than my share for His forgiveness, for the times I've hurt the Savior with my sin. And I see the face of Jesus, I'll never break the heart of God again. There will be a memory that's fading with the sound of Jesus saying, welcome home, my child. You've reached the promised land. The breath that held me captive will no longer haunt my mind. Saint, and all the angels are come by. I'm longing for the days when the sheep no longer stray, and the struggles of this life come to an end. I'll be deceived to sin no more, and I'll be as holy as my Lord, and I'll never break the heart.
Good. And we should get to hear that one hopefully here in a few weeks. We'll keep that in mind. I hadn't heard that song before and I like it. I have to say that. It's good to see everybody here today. Appreciate everybody coming out today. I like that song, that last, the main part of that verse. I don't know if it's titled or not. I won't break the heart of God again. That's something that I'm guilty of, and I think most everybody is. We hurt His feelings a whole lot. And many times we break His heart because we fail or we do something or we just things. And so that is a very good thought in that song there. I appreciate that. I had a different thought here not too long ago. I told Paul about it later. Y'all know my memory is not very good, right? Paul has to remind me pretty regular, don't you? And my thought was, up there, I won't forget no more. I won't forget things. I'll know everybody there, is what I thought about. And for me, that was a great blessing. Y'all heard me tell about Brother Steve up at Old Macedonia. He lost a leg in a motorcycle wreck when he was 18 years old. And I think it was just above his knee, and he wears a prosthetic that basically for years did not fit well, but he said, first thing I want to do when I get to heaven, he says, I want to take off running. Amen. He says, I want to take off running. And I understood that. And yeah. With me, it's my memory. And I won't forget no more. And that'll be good. There's a lot of things that we see in the Bible where it says, like there's no more seed, no more crying, no more weeping, no more all of this. The no mores of the book of Revelation. And and we think about them. Some of them we don't even really understand what they are, what he was talking about. But for me, no more forgetting is a good thing. Somebody got a word on your heart before we go any further in service? Appreciate everybody being here today. Here over the next couple of weeks, we will be getting ready to celebrate Christmas, as we call it, the time of Jesus' birth. I know there'll be all kinds of busyness going on. But every time you kind of think, whew, I got this to do, this to do, back up and say, Jesus was born. That's time to think about it. Maybe it'll give a little more clarity to your time in your day. Just remember that little baby that was born. Keep that in mind. If no one has anything on your heart this morning, I'm going to take our reading lesson today from the book of the 23rd chapter of Luke. The 23rd chapter of Luke, and I ask that you would pray for me today. This message to me is going to be just a little bit, if I may use the word weird, to me it's going to be a little bit weird because the thought kind of looks like it's going one way, but if it goes the way I think the Lord is going to lead this, and believe me, I know that doesn't always work. What I think and what the Lord thinks sometimes is completely different. So if it goes kind of the way that I think it's going to do, be prayerful that it reaches to the hearts that the Lord, I know it will reach the hearts that the Lord wants it to, but just have a little patience with me this morning. I'll try not to be too long with this, but the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke, Jesus is on the cross in this chapter, and basically he's already went through the trial by the Sanhedrin. He has went before Pilate and Herod, and now back to Pilate, and then to the cross. And you know the story that goes on while he's on the cross. And in this chapter is where he tells the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," is what he says. Now, after this, the Lord says, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And basically what it says is in some of the other books, it's finished. And he gives up the ghost. After that he has died, you know that part of the story, but we're going to come down to the 50th verse here. And something you don't usually, I've never really heard it used as a reading lesson before. And it says in the 50th verse, and it says, "And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deeds of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid." That's our reading lesson, verse 50 through 53 this morning for our reading lesson. And basically in this reading lesson here, you see a story basically within a story about a man. A good man is what the Bible tells us here. Now, that tomb that he laid the body of Jesus in one of the other books, it tells us it was his new tomb. He had planned on being buried there. But Jesus himself did not have a tomb. And basically what the scripture tells us, that Joseph buried him in his own tomb. Now, I want you to notice Joseph. This is the kind of the part that seems like it's going to be weird. Because we hear about Joseph and about the fact that he buried Jesus, but we don't really hear much about Joseph himself. He was a man of Arimathea. I didn't look up where that is. It doesn't matter. It does matter that it says that he was a good man. He was one of the counselors. He was one of the men that was in the Sanhedrin. But he did not agree with what they were doing. I would say there was some of those men that was there in the Sanhedrin that got outvoted. I believe he voted against what they were doing in condemning Jesus. I also believe, from what I read, Nicodemus was there, and he did not consent unto it either. But Joseph, it says that he did not consent unto these things, and he went to Pilate and begged the body. Now, and he got the body, and he buried the body of Jesus. Now, the part that the actual ideal today is going to be on a good man. A good man is what it's about. And the ideal today is what makes a good man. Now, I told you this is kind of weird it sounded. You might think if I'm going to preach this, I'm going to preach it to church members. You may get a little bit of this. But the idea is you've got to have a starting place to really be a good man. And when I say man, ladies, this is not excluding you. This is a general term that basically is going to conclude mankind. Men, women, boys, girls, all of us. It includes everybody that needs to be a good man. It never fails when you go to a funeral home, and if you're one of the ones that's standing up there with a family member, somebody will walk by. Most of the time, you've got several people that will walk by. Oh, he was a good man. That was a good woman. That was a good woman. What makes a good man? What makes a good woman? Well, I want you to go over with me over to the 12th chapter of Matthew. This is the second part of our reading lesson. In this 12th chapter, Jesus is talking to a group of people. And basically, there was Jews that was there, probably Pharisees or Sadducees one. Excuse me. And what they actually did at this time was they had accused Jesus of casting out devils by the devil. And Jesus proceeds to preach to them about a house divided cannot stand. And then he goes on to put them in their place. And generally what he will tend to do is he will tend to, he gets to a certain place and he starts to talk to them about the fruits that they have. And in verse 34, he makes a statement. He says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, I'm going to read that next verse here in a minute. You'll read ahead. But the idea that I want you to see here is, out of the abundance of the heart is what he's talking about here. Out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaketh, a good man speaketh, is what he's saying. Now, that next verse says, a good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. Now, out of the heart, where do you start in being a good man? Good man. Now, first of all, I want to say this. There is a lot of good men and women out there that absolutely knows nothing about Jesus. Amen. I'm talking about being better than just a good man or a woman. I'm talking about having really goodness about you. I know people that are not saved, and they can make the prettiest speeches it ever was. They say everything absolutely right. Not like me. I say things a lot of times. I get hung up with my tongue many times, and it doesn't come out right sometimes. I get the one thing on my mind, and then I say something to somebody else. But the good treasures that he is talking about is the part about an individual that is saved by the grace of God. You might say, well, you said you knew unsaved people that were good people. And I agree, I did say that. And I agree, they are good people. But to be really, really good, not in people's eyes, but in God's eyes, you got to be good on the inside. Amen. Let me give you a quick example of that. The Bible tells us that when Samuel went to anoint the successor to King Saul, that he went to the house of Jesse, and he saw that first young man, the eldest son of Jesse, and what he did at that time, he looked at a fine-looking young man, probably had some size to him, a good height, a strong-looking young man, a man that had the ability to look like wisdom is what he did in front of him. And he said within himself, surely this is God's anointed. But the Lord said, I have refused him, for he is not the one. He said, Samuel, I look upon the heart, not upon the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. And so Jesus was saying this to those people there, he said, out of the abundance of the heart, man speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, what makes the difference on an individual actually being good in the heart? And that is the salvation of God. He speaks about the fruits up there above it, the fruits of a man's heart. The fruits are the testimony, if you would, as to what a person is as far as salvation is concerned. That was the same fruits that Jesus talked about, the good tree and the evil tree, how that you couldn't get good fruit off of an evil tree. In other words, you couldn't get a good apple off of a persimmon tree. You couldn't get a good orange off a sycamore tree. What he's trying to tell you is there is a difference on the inside that allows the abundance of speaking. What makes an individual good is the Spirit of God on the inside. The Spirit of God dwelling in that individual, causing them to be clean on the inside, causing them to be perfect on the inside, maybe not on the outside. I shouldn't say maybe, because all of us are sinners in the eyes of God. But the fact of the matter is, he is looking at the heart of an individual. God looking at the hearts of you and I, and seeing that individual that is trusted upon the Lord to be saved. What does it take to be a good man today is our thought today. If you turn to the book of Lamentations in the 3rd chapter, we're going to give you a couple of verses here to kind of get your attention about what does it take to be that good individual. What does it take today to be really good in the eyes of God? He says in the 3rd chapter of Lamentations, in the 26th verse, it says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Sounds like a little bit of a different thing. He says, hope and quietly wait. We talk to people in our congregations today that they are to seek after God, is what we tell them. We tell them to pray, seek after him. And that makes it sound like here that we're going opposite of what we tell individuals here in our church. Because when you say quietly hope, you tend to think, well, that means I need to sit down, be quiet, and just wait for God to give me salvation. But that's not what he's talking about here. When he says quietly, it means to have patience, to have a patient mind about you. What that original word meant was that you quietly having patience towards God to be saved. Am I saying not to seek him out? No. What it's telling us to do is to continue on with patience. If you're a person of patience, You realize that when you sit down to do a job and you're really having to have patience to do it, you sit there and you continue on that job until you get it done. When you sit down or you start that work, you just keep going on. That is that type of patience that we are talking about. Now, let's go back to that word hope. That word hope is basically the same thing as faith in many ways. And what we would say about this hope here today, that yes, generally, what we talk about as far as hope is concerned, we use it in saying, well, I hope I get to do so-and-so. Most of the kids probably are saying, well, I hope I get a certain toy for Christmas. We may say within ourselves, I hope I survive Christmas. And it's a wishful type of word that we use it for. But this word hope is more similar to the word of faith. Faith is a word that basically means you're putting your trust. You have confidence that it's going to be. Now, the difference between hope and faith is this. Yes, it is a desire to go to it, but it is a hope of action. It is a word of action is what it is. Meaning that I am looking and I'm working. I'm trying to get where God is. And so when you, with patience, are hoping to be saved, you're working at it and continuing to pray. So many times today, I see individuals who say that they're unsaved and they're seeking salvation, and they'll come to an altar. They'll tell you, I've been praying at home, but it hasn't done any good. Many times they'll even say, well, it didn't do any good for me to try to get saved. I didn't get saved. You know, the only way that you can complete the task is to do it with patience and keep going until you receive the reward. When you complete the job. Now, this hope that we're talking about, quietly working at, listen to what he starts to tell us here. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Now, Brother Sam talked about seeing a yoke of oxen when he was young, plowing in a field. But what he's telling here, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. I want you to understand something today. If whatever age you got saved at, if you were 6 years old, bless your heart. But if you were older, we'll say in your 20s, 30s, even 60s, I've heard of individuals getting saved when they were in their 70s, even 80s at times. It's a rare thing for them to put it off that long. But what he is telling them, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. It's better for you as young people, as children, when the Lord is dealing with your soul, it's better for you to get into this work now. To get into the place where that you can be a saved individual. That you can be that good man in God's eyes. Why, when you're young, why is it better when that you're young? Well, I'll say the best way I can describe it is this. I know out of experience, there's more distractions as you grow older. Hey, some of you that are teenagers right now, do you remember how it was when you was just 4 or 5 years younger and you looked at everything that was going on and you was just worried about you, maybe your toy box, maybe just your TV shows or whatever it might have been, and that was really all you worried about. Maybe you had to deal with a little bit of the homework or something like that. But when you got up in the teenage years, oh, there was more distractions. There was a football game. There was basketball. There was this club. There was this activity. There was those things that just kept pressing your mind. And as you kept listening to those things, it was harder to think about God, wasn't it? All of those things lead you away from being God, being saved by God. Why is it better to take upon this yoke, this labor of being that good person? How many of you today can say within yourself that you learned to be good when you were young? How many of you can say within yourself, well, I just keep doing a little bit better as time goes on? Hey, that's the natural thing. If you start doing a certain activity, if you start a hobby, when you first start out, you can't do it very well. But if you keep working at that hobby, you get better as time goes on. But if you forget about it, you know what you'll do? You'll tend not to look as good. One of my hobbies as a young man was this. I used to love to look for what we call arrowheads. You know, the little stone arrowheads that the Indians used to use? I could walk through a field, and looking down, I'd see a piece of a rock, piece of flint, and I could see it, and I could just pick it out real quick. The shape, the color, the things, I noticed it because I looked for it. And the more I looked for it, the better I got at finding them. Then I moved to Florida. They didn't have them down there. The sand was different. Everything looked different. And I didn't find them. I didn't look for them. 4 years later, I came back to the fields, and I started working in the fields again. I thought, why am I not seeing these arrowheads anymore? Oh, right there is one. I finally found one. Then a little later, I found another. And as time went on, I got better at it. You see, in order to be a good man, it's going to take patience, and it's best to start in your youth. It's going to start within you, to start young. By the way, you're not getting any younger. That's for you older ones. You're not getting any younger. You're as young as you're going to be anymore in your life. So it's best to start now. If you're not saved, it's best to start now. Amen. To be that good man. He says that he will help you. He said he sitteth alone and keepeth his house because he hath borne it upon himself. Meaning he knows his sin. He knows his trouble. He knows his pains that he is going out. And the first thing that every one of us tries to do is do it ourselves. Have you ever seen somebody try to be good at something? Have you ever seen somebody try to be good at basketball? And they wasn't? And what I'm talking about, they didn't have the bit. They couldn't chew and bounce a ball at the same time. They couldn't chew gum and bounce a ball at the same time. Basically, those people had to work at it. And they started working at it more and more. My friend, today, you work quietly, but you've got to take that yoke upon you. You've got to try to get that it, by God's help. You've got to have God's help. Help in this. And what he says, he putteth his mouth to the dust. He humbles himself. In other words, if so be, there may be hope in them. They look for the hope, that active faith. They started searching for that faith in that day. They start to get themselves in the place where that they can search out and find God. It takes patience to get there. And the sooner you start, the quicker you'll get there. Now, we know that salvation is truly worth all things, isn't it? Salvation is truly worth everything that there is out there today. We that have been saved. So I want to put it in this way to each and every one of you today. And I'm going to the book of Proverbs for a particular verse here today to get what we are that are saved. Once that you have borne that burden, once that you've gotten to the place where God has lifted you up, He's made you clean on the inside. The way to prosper in this, the way to being that good person is one thing. Anybody got a guess? Sharing it. I talked about the little girl earlier and how that she wanted to be saved, how she got saved, and how she wanted to tell others. And I said that the best thing that to anybody that's ever been saved can do is tell somebody when it happened. Tell them about it from time to time. It helps them to grow. It helps them if they join the church and they come in to the body of the church. Start working in the church, doing this and doing that, helping things, wanting to teach, wanting to do the things that gives God honor and glory. All of these things work good to making you a good man. Let me give you a thought. Most of the time when we think about good individuals in church, most of the time if we talk about the really good ones, it's the ones that's done dead. Am I not right? Who do you think about when did you think of the person that was so good in church when you were growing up? Are they not dead? Most of the time, they are. Sometimes we realize it before they die. But most of the time, we realize it after that they're gone is what we do. What made them special? What made them that good man, that good woman, that old saint? That's what we generally describe them as being a saint of God. Now, I'm a little bit different on that subject of saint, to be honest. I think everybody that's been saved, yes, they're saved on the inside, and they are a saint inside. But when we describe somebody as being a saint of God, we think about somebody in particular. They're the ones that do something, right? They're the ones that showed us how to do church. They are the ones that showed us how to pray. They were the ones that showed us how to testify. They were the ones that led us in the work of God. They were those people that influenced us in such a great way. We consider them really good men and women in church, don't we? First, they had to be saved, though. Next, they had to join the church. After they joined the church, they had to start to take on the burden, the yoke, if you would. They had to start to be thinking about God and His work more than themselves. Whoa, wait a minute, preacher. You're asking a lot. Am I? Let me give you a verse if I can find it right quick. In the book of Romans, give me just a sec. Chapter 12, verse 1 of the book of Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What's reasonable? What is reasonable? Did Jesus die on the cross for you? Should we not repay Him? If it cost us our lives, would it be worth it? You remember the story of Naaman and how he went to the prophet Elisha wanting to be healed of his leprosy. Elisha gave him something simple. Go down here to Jordan River and wash yourself seven times and you'll be made whole. And he got mad, and the servant asked him the question, Master, if he'd asked you something great, would you have not done it? What would you have traded for your salvation? Think about that for a second. What would you trade for your salvation right now? I don't want to trade with you. You might not have what I got. But what would you trade? The Lord doesn't require us to do a thing. He just says, give me your reasonable service. To be that good man. Oh, yeah, William, that's you too. Don't think I'm leaving you out. This is the main point I want you to get out of this. Again, on the good man, out of Proverbs in the 13th chapter, look at verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Rachel, what are you talking about inheritance? Well, yeah, I'm going to leave them my house. I'll try to have money saved up for them. I'll try to give them everything that I have. And bless your hearts, that's what you're supposed to do. What's the greatest inheritance that you can leave for your child? Jesus. I hadn't thought about this. Do you remember a statement I think I made last week? I think it's the way I said it. In my heart, every one of you is my children. And I want to leave you an inheritance of this word. Of this work. What do you want to leave your children? Think about this today. What do you want to leave your children? What do you want to leave these, you folks over here, what do you want to leave these kids over here? What about them over here? Hey, y'all, what are y'all going to leave this bunch over here? What are you leaving for them? Are you giving them an inheritance? What about to their children? What about to their great-grandchildren? What are you leaving for them today? That's what Jesus is talking about, or what God is talking about here. Basically, the same thing. But the idea today is in order for you to be that good man, that good person, be like Joseph was, a man that he did not agree to the killing of Jesus, but he had trusted that Jesus had died for him. He had trusted in all of these things, and he trusted that he needed to do what God wanted him to do. Take that body down. You know, maybe you don't know this. I don't know. Maybe you don't. The people that hung on the crosses, do you know what happened to their bodies when they died there? The stat is better than 95% of them never went anywhere. Because it was such a shame for the family that their loved one had been crucified, they hung there. They was never buried. Nobody said any words over them because it was such a shame. But Joseph made a stand. You think about that. He made a stand that he wanted to do for his master. And I believe it was his master. He begged the body. Do you like to beg anybody for anything? I don't. But he begged for the body of Christ. And then he took it to something that he had prepared for himself. And he buried the body of Jesus. He paid it homage. He did what the Jews needed him to do. There was certain things that had to be done for a Jewish body when they buried him, and he did every bit of it for Jesus' sake. And what he didn't realize, he did it for one other reason. So Jesus could put it off and come out of that grave. Now, my challenge to you today is this. Try to be a good man. Hopefully you won't have to wait until you're laying in the casket and your family hears the words, "Oh, they sure was a good person. Oh, they were so beautiful. Oh, that man, he was really good. That man led me to the Lord. Oh, she told me about Jesus. She told me, and I heard, and I believed. Because of her, I got saved, because she said those words." You say you can't be that good person except you trust in Jesus first. You can be as good as you can possibly be, but you're not going to be good until you trust Jesus and let Him help you. When you start seeking, Brother Brad, I'm about done. I'll let you get ready. When you start seeking Jesus, have patience. But you hope and believe that He will save you if you'll stay after Him. If you'll keep looking, if you'll keep praying, you keep hoping and believing that He will. And you know what? You'll eventually get to the place where you'll totally and completely believe Him, and you'll feel a change. You'll feel Him save you. Am I not right? Bless your heart. He'll completely change you. And then you can start a work by going to church, by joining the Lord's church, being baptized, following the Lord's example, and just keeping on going for Him. Until somebody says, "Boy, that's a good one right there. That's a good one. Thank you for being good." Brother Brad? Still having trouble with my tongue, ain't I? Why are we standing and singing? It's a good day to start a new life. Being saved by Jesus Christ. Seek Him. Come to the altar. Pray. Come and do what God would have you to do. If you're here and maybe you've gotten saved and you haven't told anybody, tell somebody. If you've gotten saved and you've told somebody you've not joined the church, come and join the church. If you've joined the church and you haven't been doing anything for the Lord, leave an inheritance for your children. Greatest inheritance that you can leave. Brother Brad, why we sing?
Songs to remember, number 6, 124. 124.